You've tuned in to Tabletop Meta, a podcast where we talk about the meta of tabletop gaming.
Why we game, how we game, what games we play, and what all that says about us as gamers and people.
Thanks for joining us today. I'm Will.
And I'm Becky. Welcome to Tabletop Meta episode number 6, Pros of Cons.
Today we'll be talking about cons, big and small, and later on we'll have a review of Rallyman. We got in this topic just because we just got back from a con, Nexus Game Con, and it was interesting because we've been to several different cons, big gaming events. I guess that's a better thing because there's lots of cons out there that we go to. But
yeah, and these were, the one we were at is a specifically for board gaming.
Board gaming, and that's a big part of it. So it's interesting, you know, like why do you go to a con, a gaming event? Because there's different ones. You get smaller ones like in our area, Meeplestock, Nexus Game Fair,
Fire and Ice.
And then you have the big ones that would be Origins and Gen Con.
Right. You know, I think it's interesting. I'm not even sure I would consider Gen Con a gaming convention in the way I consider gaming conventions, mostly because I don't think I've really ever played a game at Gen Con.
Well, it also depends on the reasons you want to go, because there's a lot
Very
of
true.
There's a lot of different reasons to go to a con, a gaming convention. I should make sure to correct on that.
Well, if you're listening to Tabletop Meta, you can assume right now when we're talking a con, we're talking a gaming convention.
Yes. When you go to a major event like a Gen Con, you're looking for different things than you go from then your local con. When you're looking at that local con, you're looking more maybe to meet people or meet people in your area to game.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, the couple of conventions we were at, I found that there were people who went to the convention to meet up with a set group of friends and to game. You know, usually that's the wargaming and the role-playing. And I was thinking specifically for Fire and Ice when we went there last year, they had parts of the pavilion area set off for gaming groups who just were in their little areas.
Like they had met, there was a meetup time.
Yep.
And they had gotten a selection of games. They, you know, bought new games or they brought, and they had stacks of games, but you can tell that they were like, okay, we're playing now.
Yeah, and it could be that they were all friends and they used to be in the same area and had a gaming group that they could go to regularly, but no, they couldn't anymore, so they met at this convention to do this gaming.
Or it could be, hey, this is the time when instead of having a couple hours or a night to go, we can do it all weekend.
That's very true. Now, when we go to a gaming convention, For us, it's more to go and try new games. I think it's to play new games.
Specifically, yes, because I think when we did Fire and Ice, we did, in the weekend, we broke in about 16 new games. And at Nexus just a few weeks ago, we were almost to 40 new games
to
play.
Yeah, that's, well, no, 30. Well, I guess
no,
combined
it was,
between us.
It was
yeah.
about 35.
That's true. And I think it's interesting because the games that I couldn't say that we really played that many games. And we will have, our next episode will be a game review or a game convention, a review of Nexus. So we'll talk about
and
our
we'll
games
talk about the different
did.
Games. But then, I mean, that gets into seeing new games. I mean, then you talk about the difference between going to a Gen Con to see a new game, whereas you see something like a small con to see a new game.
Well, I think the difference at Gen Con, any of the big gaming conventions, is that they have game releases and people go to see the new games.
True.
To do that, you walk the dealer's room, which is probably, I would say, why a good third of the people go to Gen Con, just to walk the dealer's room and try
the
new games.
I know that
they
have other events like True Dungeon, and they have a whole selection of role-playing events. For me, I never got into that. It's, to me, it's that dealer room is where I am.
Yeah, that's why I went. That's the big draw too.
But see, I look at my time and that's how I'm going to spend my time, because the rooms there are so huge. There is so much to see that you can spend that 8 to 10 hours in the dealer room and still not see everything. It takes that 2 or 3 days for me.
Yeah, I can believe that. Now, Nexus is tiny compared to Gen Con, but it was a nice, decent con. They had a lot of games, and I have to say it's a Milwaukee Gaming...
Millicog.
They brought the games that they
had.
Awesome. Just
they
awesome.
Had a good 500 game... I don't know, that was probably more around 1,000.
Oh, so many games.
You know, it's anywhere from between 500 to 1,000 games. Hey, if there's someone from Millicog, send us a note and give us the correct amount on there, because we did enjoy your game library, how they had it set up. It was, you know, they had a very nice system set up.
They did. And you could go check out the game. You could learn it. We didn't actually... We played some games, but we probably... Oh, how would you say we learned? We tested out?
Testing, yeah.
Testing. Maybe it's game testing would be the best way to say.
Well, there were some games that if we could go through and then we get maybe halfway or a third through and we'd go, okay, we understand where this game is, or that it was something we wanted to try and then we go, okay, we see where it's going, let's jump to another game. That was one regret that I think we both said was, we really wanted to hit that long-term game, which I think we're going to plan for the next one.
Yeah, and there was one specific game that I really wish we could have sat down and played a couple of rules for.
Which one?
Unfair.
Oh, that was a blast.
Because I really liked Unfair.
That's one we're going to get.
Yeah.
Two games I know that we're going to get and we'll mention was basically Unfair and Star Trek Panic were the two ones I have to get now.
Yes, Star Trek Panic was awesome, but we already knew we'd love Star Trek Panic. I didn't realize how actually awesome it would be. And we'll discuss that in our
So game now, game. Then you get into buying new games. That's another reason.
Well, I think buying new games, especially first release games, is a big pull for the big conventions because the new hotness is usually released at the big gaming conventions like Gen Con and
yeah, and then when with a con like a smaller con like Nexus, it is playing the game library to find that, but then the game auction, which was very nice.
Yes, the game auction. I forgot all about that. That was awesome. You can bring your games in. It's a silent auction. Any games that you have, you bring in, you write a little slip on, and you put your bid on. You put what you want minimum and what the instant sale price is. And you just go. And they had a lot of games. And we picked up more last year. But this year we picked up one group of games. Or was it just
Rally Man? That was the only game.
That was the only one in there?
Which we'll talk about.
Right. That's actually our game review at the end of this episode.
So then we get into, one more thing
about the game auction, which I really like, is that you can then get games that might be harder to get or that you don't like. Rally Man was one, you don't see it all the time, but somebody wanted to, sell it. It's a nice way to get some odd games for a really good price. Out of print. Yes.
But you're left at what somebody wants for that game.
Yes.
I mean, if somebody brings it and it's a game I've always wanted, but they want to pay they want too much for it, or someone outbids me, I'm out of luck.
That was a problem. I had a game I was really kind of wanting, and there was somebody hovering. But that's how it goes.
There was a couple games which I put a bid in, but I also, if they bid over it, fine, I'm good. It was, hey, I wish we could have gotten it, but that's okay. But, I think with both of the cons, there's the opportunities of the different playing games. Whereas Nexus, it's much more of either joining into event, going through the game library, or stuff like that. Whereas you go to Gen Con, you're much more going to the demonstrations.
The interesting thing with Gen Con is I know they have ticket sales and you can play in games, but I never did that, not even when it was in Milwaukee, that I recall.
No.
Signing up for games. It just seems so daunting.
Well, also, I think there's a lot of people that have gotten into those games, and I saw at Nexus a lot of games I wanted to get into, they filled up very fast.
Yes. And one of the interesting things about running a game, because we ran a couple games at Nexus, mm-hmm. is that when I was running the game, I didn't leave a slot for myself to play the game.
Well, that gets into teaching it or playing it.
Right. But I think a lot of people who wanted to play the game, you know, and you can see that right off, because they'll say, oh, we're playing Mansions of Madness, and you have to know the rules, and there's room for four people or for three people. You can see right away that they're looking to play the game with experienced people who know what they're doing and get a real solid game out of it. You know, if Call of Cthulhu or Dead of Winter, there were a couple of those games where you could see that they really wanted to play with people who knew the rules and who were going to get a real game experience out of it.
That's definitely interesting. For me, I really wanted to be there to teach the game, to show these people a game.
Well, that's why I ran Fortune and Glory, is because I wanted to have other people play the game, because it's a fairly daunting game to get into,
mm-hmm.
and it's huge, and it's not everybody's style, so you should be able to kind of test out the game. I mean, we tested it out the first time we played it was at the very first Nexus,
mm-hmm.
and I fell in love with the game. You know, I say that a lot. It turns out that I am very passionate about a very select number of games.
That's true on that. But it's interesting to see those different players. But it's also interesting when you go to a bigger event and seeing those people demonstrating a game. And there's definitely times when I've gone to a demo where, you know, it's a half an hour and I really wish I could have, can we just go the full hour or full game, please?
There were, we signed up and we played in Nexus games run by the designers, two different games.
Yes, Role Player and Fuse and Flatline.
Right. And those were full games. Those weren't just demo games. They were the full game that you could play.
That was true.
And in fact, our group managed to play two full games of Fuse. Okay, that's not saying much. Fuse is quick. But we managed to get two of them in. Role Player, he played all weekend. They were full games. It was a good way to get to know the games.
Yeah, but it's also the difference. It's also seeing the different people, the different kind of gamers, because you have the people that go there for the cosplay. Even at Nexus, there was a group that was cosplaying.
Yeah, and they were really kind of pushing it this year. I know that Saturday was going to be the cosplay kind of the day for dressing
right.
up.
You also had the Magic players.
Yep.
You also had the section for miniature and wargamers.
Yeah, and there were some role-playing, but I don't know.
That was actually, I think, downstairs.
Okay, see, I didn't run into them this year.
And that's the trouble. Like, for me, I rarely, hardly ever go to a game con to role-play.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of that is because I don't do Dungeons and Dragons. You know, I don't do D&D.
Well, there's a lot of role-playing we don't do.
Well, yes, but D&D is usually the big ones on this sort of thing.
Yes.
You know, so it'd be interesting to see if anybody would want to do a role-playing. That seems like too much work for me.
Well, then that gets into scheduling your time.
Yes.
How are you going to spend your time? And I think that's up to each player, because it depends on what your interests are. For me, it's really seeing the variety of games, because I'm always looking for another game, always looking for a new game, you know, or a designer, or there's something I want to see step up to that. That was part of I was very excited, was to play Fuse and Flatline, is because the designer Kane was there.
Yes, and I like his
Kleno, or how, I keep never how to pronounce his
Kane
name.
Kane Kleno.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And now if I said that wrong, I really apologize, but I'm pretty sure it's Kane Kleno.
See, now we saw him, we met him at the first Nexus. He's from Madison.
Yeah.
So we played Mad City, which we didn't care for.
It wasn't quite my type of game. I would play it again if somebody had it and they said, do you want to play it? But I don't think I would go out of my way because it just wasn't my type of game that I really enjoyed.
It's interesting. Also, I think you can run this with the different types of cons, is how people interact with games. You get those people that are very energetic to jump into a game, and those people who aren't, which is kind of fun. It's kind of interesting to see.
What game was it? We were walking by and they were just setting up a game, and it was a good game. And I can't remember what one. It's something we've played and we like. And they wanted us to help teach it, but we had to run our own game in like a half an hour, so we couldn't sit down.
New Bedford.
That's right. They were playing New Bedford.
Oh, you don't know how much I really wanted to sit down and show them that game, because I adore that game. And it was kind of but, you know, I just had to get them the encouragement and say I really had to go on.
Yeah.
But that's something you run into the games where you have to just budget your time. I mean, if I wasn't running a game, I would have sat down with them.
Right. And, you know, you had said that one of the things we weren't able to do at this con was sit down and do a fairly in-depth game. And that's true.
You got to. Sort of.
Well, sort of. It's interesting. One thing that I like and I find really interesting about going to conventions like this is I dropped in on a game of Great Western Trail. And what I thought was interesting was the other players in the game knew each other. I'm not quite sure how well, like if they were part of the same group or it was just acquaintances.
But that's definitely getting into the different type of players, though.
Right. And how it's always interesting to see how other people react to learning a new game, how it's taught, how well they accept things. And that's the people watcher in me, because I found that to be a very interesting, outside of the game, which I thought was a very good game. I thought it was very interesting in how the players were reacting. And since I didn't know any of the people and I had no investment in any of that, I just found it really interesting.
Well, I also found it interesting. It's also, in getting into the people watching, it's interesting to see what games are getting played. We saw Scythe a few times. Harry Potter was being played a lot.
Yeah.
I saw that all the time.
Was that Dead of Winter? It was on the one table over there. What was that? It was out the whole con. It was a big game. Everybody kept doing something. I don't know what it was. I didn't go over it, but they were playing it the whole time.
I'm not sure on that.
They had a couple people who were demoing or playtesting the games that they were trying to create.
Well, it gets interesting because there's sometimes I miss some of that. There's sometimes I see stuff at one con and I'll come back and then all of a sudden I don't see it, which is kind of interesting. And I think some of that playtesting I was missing.
Yeah, I think when we were sitting at the end table, it was on Monday. This con ran over Memorial Day weekend, mm-hmm. and it ran Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And on Monday, we were playing our last couple of games before we had to head home. And it was a murder mystery of one sort or another that they were playing. And it was the gal who, and I didn't go over and talk to them because it was all in, and I know people like talking about things like that, but I just wasn't what I was doing at the time. But she was doing it, and then she stopped and talked, and they all talked about, well, why would we do it this way? And well, you got to force people. And I'm pretty sure that was a game she was trying to create. And that's an interesting reason to go to gaming conventions also.
It is. It's definitely, there are so many different reasons, and it's, you could spend hours talking about the difference. And so, you know, if you come up with ideas, if you, something that you want to hear or something just to send us some feedback on, please do. We'd love to hear from you. So if you have that something to say about, let us know.
Yeah, because, you know, we're always open for other people's opinions. The easiest way to let us know what you think is to shoot us an email. Send it to jointhemeta@tabletopmeta.com. More info can be found in the show notes at the end of the episode or at our website at tabletopmeta.com.
And now it's time for the game review.
It's where we talk about a game we really like or have recently played.
The tabletop meta rating system has four levels. At the top of the list is...
Buy it! I have to have this in my game library.
One step down is...
Oh man, I like this game. I will play it anytime.
Just below that is...
I'll play it if somebody else wants to, or if I really want to be at the table.
And the bottom rating is...
Ugh, not my kind of game. I think I'll pass today.
Our game today we're going to talk about is Rallymat. This is one I have been looking for and for a while because I'm a fan of racing games.
Yeah, and I had never heard of it, so...
Yeah, see, one of my absolute favorite, probably top five games is Formula D.
A game that I truly love also.
I love it, but I had heard a lot about this game and wanted to find it, and when I saw it in the auction, I grabbed it, and I was very pleased to get it at a really great price. Rallyman simulates rally racing, which is a completely different form of racing than Formula D or NASCAR. It's about doing the best time you can do.
Yep.
The track uses it by four modular boards to create your various tracks, and they look very short compared to other games.
Well, and what I found interesting about the layout of the tracks is that they didn't lay together neatly. You just looked at it and you made sure that one of your racetracks on one board, when it ended, went to the board on the other. The boards didn't align, the tracks aligned.
Yeah, so you're not doing segments and trying to piece like a railway, like a, you know, train tracks. You're just putting the boards, and you can have them end and stop at any point.
Right.
And then it simulates your gearing by dice, where you roll a dice, no matter what gear it is, you move a space, and you link them together.
Right, so you have five dice labeled first, second, third, fourth, and fifth gear.
And then two white dice, which are acceleration.
Right, and then that just means that if you are in second gear, you can roll these two white dice, and then you can stay in second gear twice, which is important when you're going around corners.
No, it's fascinating because on the initial part of the game, when you're looking at the game, it seems very simple. It doesn't seem to be a very high complex game. But when you get into it, the other thing on how they keep their time is whatever gear you end, you take that card, which will represent the gear, and that has a time on it.
So first gear is like 50 seconds. So if you end your move in first gear, you get a time that says 50 for 50 seconds.
No matter how many dice you rolled or how far you moved on the board.
So if you ended in first gear, you get 50 seconds it cost you. If you ended in fifth gear, it's 10 seconds. So you would like to end in fifth gear, but you can't always end in fifth gear. Because if you fifth gear and you want to stay in fifth gear, you're only rolling one dice and moving one time. And that doesn't always work.
Or you got to shift down and you've got to work. Maybe at the most you can roll is three dice.
Right. And the tricky part about the dice is, since you only have one dice for each gear, if you start in third and you go to fourth to fifth, you don't have a die to roll back again to drop to fourth gear. You have to stop in fifth gear.
Right.
Because you can't go back down. You've used your fourth gear dice.
Now, how they simulate the danger in is a push your luck. On each of the dice is a hazard symbol. At any time, you can stop, whether you have one or two hazard symbols. You get the third one, you must stop.
And you spin out.
That's the simulation for losing control.
And spinning out is a whole minute worth of time. And you end the wrong way and you have to start out in first gear, which might not be bad, except for you got a minute thing, you know. So.
And you might go into the trees, you might go into the water, you might flip the car, who knows. It's quite a mess. And another thing is it does the rally racing where for the first player, he will go. And then the second round, that player will go again, and then the second player. So you're always staging across the track.
Right. I really enjoyed this game. I really like the strategy that went into it. It was kind of interesting. When you first looked at it, you didn't think it. And all of a sudden you're going, well, wait, you have to be at this point, and you can't ever shift down or up again once you've done it. If you're in fifth grade and you go to fourth and third, you can either go to second and first or you can stop. So there's a lot of strategy in how to do it.
Which I found really surprising. And there are ways you can take seconds off your time where you can literally roll multiple dice at the same time. If you do that, you're going to get little seconds back, which is kind of a fun thing to...
Right. But of course, if you roll all your dice there and you roll three faulty dice, then you're stuck. Whereas if you work up and you roll one bad dice and they roll another fault dice, you can choose, no, I'm not going to roll again because I don't want to spin out. I'd rather take the 30-second charge for ending in third gear.
Yes, I was very surprised on how well it would simulate that, the whole idea of rally racing. I was really surprised on how well it did that.
And one of the things I liked is you have the boards, the racetracks. You also have snow. Well, when you race in snow, you only can have, if you choose regular tires, you can roll all your dice, but you only get two faults instead of three. And if you roll on snow tires, you can roll three faults, but you have one less acceleration dice, I think.
Something like that,
or
yes.
Something like that. So, I mean, it's a trade-off either way. I really liked it. It's surprisingly how much I like race games.
And it was interesting because it was kind of fun being that rally where you're following someone. You do have that added element of seeing what the leader is doing. And you can say, oh, they hit that section really fast. I can follow them just how they did it.
Yeah, look, I saw them. They used all five dice. They used all seven dice. They ended in fifth gear, and they only got 10 seconds, and they moved seven spots. I'll do exactly what they did. That is nice.
And it was very, because it's fun on how you add up the time, and all of a sudden you're going, so then I did this section and I did it in 6 minutes and 10 seconds. And here she comes and she goes, I did it in 6 minutes and 5 seconds.
Yeah. And if you spin out, you're really in trouble.
But it was really good. I'm definitely going to try playing this on the Sunday, I think, on there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the game. We've kind of gone through it. So for our rating system, Mac, what would you give it?
Well, I would play this game anytime.
Okay.
You know, I probably would not purchase it because I don't have to.
But if you are a racing fan like me, it's definitely a buy it. So again, if you have played Rallyman, drop us a line and let us know what you think.
Or let us know if there are any similar games out there we should be playing. You know, we talk about Formula One, we talk about Rallyman. It'd be kind of fun to have a third game in our repertoire and we could just do a whole day of racing.
That's what I want to do. So I would love to hear maybe a good motorcycle game.
That would be nice. I'd like a good Isle of Man motorcycle.
Ooh, there you
Wouldn't that be fun? So if you guys know any, let us know.
We will definitely try it out.
All right.
That's going to be it for today. The whole point of Tabletop Meta is to get people start thinking. Let us know what you think.
The easiest way to do that is through our email, jointhemeta@tabletopmeta.com. You can also reach us through our Facebook or our guild on BoardGameGeek. Plus, we have an Instagram, tabletop_meta. Of course, all this information, along with the show notes and more, is on our blog, which is tabletopmeta.com.
We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line and be part of the conversation. You've been listening to Tabletop Meta.
Because there's more to gaming than playing the game.
See you next time.
Tabletop Meta is produced and edited by Will and Becky Clutie as a part of Burlap and Daisies. For more information on Tabletop Meta, visit our website at tabletopmeta.com. There you can find show notes for each of our episodes, as well as blog posts and more. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter as Tabletop Meta, and on Instagram as tabletop_meta. Finally, check out our guild on BoardGameGeek. Thanks for being a part of Tabletop Meta, because there's always more to gaming than playing the game.